I enjoy hearing missionary letters, don't you? And those needs that they were asking prayer for, I look forward to reading how God supplied and how God met those needs. And we can participate through our giving and through our prayers and encouraging our missionaries. Praise the Lord. All right, open your Bibles to Psalms chapter 92 tonight. I struggled with the title for tonight because a part of me wanted to have fun with it because of the topic. And part of me wanted to have a more solemn, more memorable title. But here are some alternatives that I did not go with. So one would be, wow, is that a gray hair? Another one was, man, I'm getting old. The other one, I was more of a sentence. You know, if your knee told you it was going to rain, you may be getting old. But as it is, I've gone with this title, Teach Us to Number Our Days, which is far more spiritual and much more biblical. But we're going to talk about aging tonight, and I think it's an interesting topic, perhaps one you would not expect to discuss or to hear a Bible study on a Wednesday night. But this is the topic that God speaks about in His Word, and certainly the topic of time and redeeming the time and making use of the time. All of these are subjects where we need to be reminded not only what God says, but we need to be certain that we're practicing the truths of Scripture regarding the time that God has given us. We don't know. We know that our days are numbered. We know that from the moment of conception that the aging process begins. You see what I did there? Moment of conception. You know, that's when the aging process begins. And it ends when we take our final breath or when the Lord comes back. So our Bible study is going to focus on this topic tonight, the topic of aging. Now, I will not pretend to be an expert because I don't know what it's like to age to a senior citizen yet. But I am what you would consider middle age, wouldn't you say? 41 is middle age, right? I'm halfway to 82 now. Wow. That's when you think about how fast time goes by. It's crazy. But so I'm not going to speak from experience as being older. And you can decide how older is. But I can speak from the Scripture. And I hope to encourage you with this tonight. So we're in Psalms chapter 92. And we're going to go through this chapter. And this is a good place to start. It's a good foundation. There's a verse toward the end that speaks to age just a little bit. And I want to read this chapter to encourage you tonight. This psalm is a psalm of praising the Lord for His loving kindness and His faithfulness and His work. So let's start out reading the first few verses of Psalms chapter 92. It's a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High. FYI, Thanksgiving is 19 days from now. All right, verse 2. To show forth thy loving kindness in the morning and thy faithfulness every night upon an instrument of 10 strings and upon the psaltery, upon the harp with a solemn sound. For thou, Lord, hast made me glad through thy work. I will triumph in the works of thy hands. O Lord, how great are thy works, and thy thoughts are very deep. A brutish man knoweth not, neither doth a fool understand this. When the wicked spring as the grass, and when all the workers of iniquity do flourish, it is that they shall be destroyed forever. But thou, Lord, art most high forevermore. For lo, thine enemies, O Lord, for lo, thine enemies shall perish. All the workers of iniquity shall be scattered. But mine horn shalt thou exalt like the horn of a unicorn. I shall be anointed with fresh oil. Mine eye also shall see my desire on mine enemies, and mine ears shall hear my desire of the wicked that rise up against me. Now, before I go further, let me just say, you know, Thanksgiving is important, right? And the first part is talking about giving praise, being thankful. And, you know, we ought to focus on the blessings that God has given us and the blessings that we experience every day. And we ought to express gratitude to God for them. And it ought not be just an annual thing, but a daily thing. And when Thanksgiving becomes an integral part of your life, you will find that your attitude is elevated. You know, that you are a more joyous person and you become grateful and positive and gracious and loving and humble. Verse 12. The righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be fat and flourishing. To show that the Lord is upright, he is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him. The result of being righteous, doing things God's way, we read in that verse, verse 14, they, a righteous person, shall still bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be fat, didn't mean to stop there, they shall be fat and flourishing. Palm trees. So if you look at this, you need to think of a palm tree. Palm trees are beautiful, right? They're strong. They often endure hurricanes. And it talks about the cedars of Lebanon. To flourish like a palm tree means to stand tall and to live long. The cedars of Lebanon, I think they grow to be like near 120 feet high and more than 30 feet in diameter. Now that results in a very strong, very secure tree that is very firm. And so these are great word pictures and metaphors for what a righteous person can expect. And, you know, when we read this, we see that the psalmist saw believers as upright. He sees believers as strong and firm in their faith. You know, honoring God is not limited to young people. And I say that because, you know, there's sort of a quandary. Wisdom comes with age, right? But their young people have energy and have the often abilities and are agile and able to do more. And so you have the wisdom and knowledge of having done, but then you have the energy and strength without as much wisdom. So, you know, these two have to work together. And everybody is in the process of aging. Let's consider, first of all, this evening, the importance of aging graciously. One author makes this comment. I thought this was interesting. Numerous possibilities, few inevitabilities. That's life. The sky's the limit. But in that journey, there are few inescapable results. Growing older is one of them. Aging not only happens, but it happens fast, doesn't it? And the older you get, the faster it goes. And that's just the way of it. It just happens that way. Job, in responding to one of his friends regarding his trials and what he was enduring, he said this in Job chapter 7 and verse 16. He says, I loathe it. I would not live always. Let me alone, for my days are vanity. Solomon wrote these words about this subject in Proverbs chapter 20, verse 29. The glory of young men is their strength. This is kind of what we just said. And the beauty of old men is the gray head. So we're going to talk about getting old tonight and aging graciously. Some people are already there. And some people are in the process, and it doesn't matter. If you're within the sound of my voice tonight, you are aging. Some of you are so young that you don't really even think about it, right? Or you think about it with anticipation. And I haven't quite figured out what that age is where the anticipation turns to, you know, just sort of nonchalantness, then turns to dread. You know, like, I'm not sure what age that is, but I do remember as a child, there were several numbers I couldn't wait to get to. The first one was 10. Why? Double digits. The second one was 16. Why? You know, driving. The next one was 18. Why? Adulthood. The next one was 25. And that was because my insurance would go down. So these are all numbers that I looked forward to. After 25, I think it was fun to hit 30. And then after that, I had to actually look at when I was born and try and figure out how exactly old I was. So maybe for me, it was around 30. But the fact of the matter is, if you're not considering aging tonight, the fact of the matter is you're going to. And if you have aged and are in the process of it and understand it, it's important that we look to see what God has to say about it. I do love Psalms chapter 37, verse 25. It says, I have been young and now am old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. Isn't that a great verse? That's the reality of the curse of sin, though, right? Eat of the tree, ye shall surely die. We know that aging is just going to happen. There's no magic pill. There's no fountain of youth. There's nothing like that that prolongs or makes you stop aging. Now, there are things you can do to hopefully live longer and to age better. And in today's day and age, there's all sorts of things. I mean, the things that people do to try and look younger or to try and prevent aging. I don't know if it was botulism or some sort of plastic. I don't know what it was, but I just recall recognizing a celebrity, and I'm not sure. I can't remember who it was, but there's this picture, and I didn't even recognize the person that said this was a celebrity. I was like, what happened to this person? She's like 80 years old and completely not even human looking. And people will go to great lengths, especially if you have money, to stop the process of aging, but you cannot do it. You know what? They still die. We still age to the point of death. So how are you handling the aging process? Here's a couple of questions for you to consider in this process. Is God being glorified by your example of aging? Is God being glorified? Can others, younger, make the same decisions you're making and God be glorified and people unto Christ and discipled? Because as you're aging, you're concerned about the things of the Lord and propagating the gospel. Are you going to give a good account at the judgment seat of Christ based on what you're doing for the cause of Christ? You see, it doesn't really matter your age. You can be growing in the Lord as you age. You can, from the youngest child in here tonight to the oldest person, we are to be growing in the Lord. Are you still growing spiritually? And if not, why not? And if so, if you are, in what ways are you growing? Just think of those things. So this part of looking at aging, I would consider it to be equipping the saints, right? If we're going to, one of the things that I've dealt with in ministry is people who reach a certain age and then they feel as though there's nothing else for them. They feel useless. They feel like they've reached a point where now I'll just turn it over to the youngins and eat, drink, and be merry until God calls me home. Well, aging has to do with time. And the clock is ticking. The Word of God makes several references to the issue of time and it being limited. Let me just read a couple for you before we move on. James chapter 4 and verse 13. You know this passage well. Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. Jesus said, I must work the works of him that sent me, because the night's coming when no man can work. From the moment of conception, the aging process began. And from that point, short of the return of Jesus, it will continue until our final breath. You can't stop it, but you can respond to it. You can react to it in a way that is honoring to the Lord. So let's talk about the different ways this is viewed. So how does man typically view the aging process? This is from a human perspective, not a spiritual one per se, but a human perspective. Think about this in perhaps what words would you use to describe the way most people respond to getting older? Most people would say it stinks, right? It's awful. I can't stand it. And as I said earlier, a lot of times people feel useless, or they would describe their life as getting older as full of uselessness. I don't have anything to contribute anymore. I'm too old to do that. And while that may be true in some areas, honestly, you know, your body is less able to do the things it was when it's younger. That's just a part of life. It is not true, though, in all areas. The challenge may be to find an area in which that person can serve in the church and be productive. And if it is prayer, if it is phone calls, if it is cards, if it is singing, whatever it may be, you're not useless in the work of the Lord until you're dead. And this is something that we have. Uselessness to me is very discouraging to see someone who's dealing with that. I was super blessed yesterday. I went to I don't know, Rushdale Gardens, is that what it's called, Colleen? Rushdale Gardens, where Chuck and Marguerite Toms are. And if you've been a part of New Testament for a while, you may remember them. And they are an older couple. And they have been living there just before COVID. I think they moved there. And it's a beautiful place. Well, we've been trying to arrange a service. And yesterday was able to go for the very first time. And you know what they have there? And it just blessed my heart. On the count, on the board they have printed, they have the joy group. So if you're familiar with our church, you know the joy group is what we have here for senior citizens, just older youth. And Chuck and Marguerite have the joy group there. And he preaches on Sundays at 10:30. And of course, with COVID, they've been locked down. And he took me on a tour yesterday, showed me all the places, and showed me their where they live and the cafeteria and the chapel. And this was all after I had done a service there with about 25 people there who they have gotten together. And the Lord has given them a ministry and they are loving it. You know, and I thought that was so wonderful. I think they're in their 90s, aren't they, Pastor? Pretty close, if not, probably in their 90s. And if you remember last year, Mrs. Toms, we thought we were going to lose her. And she looked phenomenal. She looked so great. She was carting around and she had her walker, but just for balance, it didn't look like she needed it. But she's been having an eye issue. But anyway, I looked at that couple yesterday and I knew I was going with this topic tonight. And I thought, wow, there's a person who is not useless in any way. They're accomplishing for the Lord. They're sharing the gospel. They're encouraging other people, inviting other people to their church, witnessing to people outside of their beliefs. There's lots of different faiths there, lots of different religions. And he's excited to share the truth with all of them. Those are his words. And I thought it was wonderful. And this is how we are to age as Christians. But some people feel useless. Some people have guilt. Once they get to a certain age, they say, well, you know, I've made too many mistakes. If I had it to do all over again, I'd really change, you know, and then you fill in the blank. There's nothing wrong, of course, with learning from mistakes. I do that all the time. Don't you? We learn from our mistakes. There's nothing wrong with that. But it cannot control that person to the degree that they end up doing nothing for God while he is still giving them oxygen to use, right? If you still have breath, you have a job to do, a duty to do, and you may not know exactly what it is, and it may have changed and developed because of your physical abilities, but it is still there so long as you have breath. Some people have self-pity as they get older, and the woe is me syndrome. You know, poor me, woe is me, nobody cares, why should I? I might as well just go ahead and die. Self-pity spans the extremes of blame and bitterness. It's like the Elijah syndrome. Remember when Elijah was being chased by Jezebel? Thank you. It's being chased by Jezebel, who had threatened his life, and he's like, "It is enough, O Lord. I just take my life from me." And he's feeling sorry for himself. Self-pity. This last one I'll mention tonight, though there are plenty more, is probably the most common as we age, and it is fear. You know, afraid to age, afraid of any number of things. I mean, afraid of their economic situation, afraid of losing health or the deterioration of the mind. If you follow Shelley Hamilton on Facebook, Ron Hamilton, Patch the Pirate's Wife, she is making the most of a very difficult situation. And when I say she's making the most, she's giving God all the glory and relying upon him. You know, in my opinion, 100%, she may not say that, but the things that she writes and the faith that she's exhibiting in God's will is using a difficult, difficult situation for God's glory. And even in his near vegetative state, the pirate is still a testimony for God. The things that he remembers and says and sings and what? The constant smile on his face, the joy that you know is in his heart, even if his brain is very sick and near death. This is someone who God is using. But people are afraid of losing their health or losing a spouse or losing their housing or provisions. The point is, human perspective on aging is that it is bad, right? And we want to avoid it. And, you know, we honestly have fun with it. We like to joke a bit and talk about our knees telling us the weather and, you know, forgetting things. And those are all, I have no problem with that, you know, and I think I may be experiencing some of it to some degree. And it's okay. But I think genuinely we need to be concerned about whether or not we are still being used to the Lord. And knowing that, I've always heard this, you know, the older you get, the longer you live. So there you have it. You know, God is giving you more time to use for his honor and for his glory. An interesting verse on the Proverbs 31 virtuous woman says this, and it's going to go against what we've been talking about. I mean, the grain of the human perspective. Proverbs 31:25, strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. Rejoice in time to come? That is against the grain of what humans think about aging, for the most part. Doesn't indicate the attitude that we've been talking about. Why? Because it's because she is viewing life from another perspective. So that's the human perspective. Now, what is God's perspective on life in the aging process? We need to remember, first of all, that God is ageless. It's hard to fathom, isn't it? Our minds are finite. God's is infinite, right? It's infinite. But we often have a difficult time understanding the eternal. He has always existed. Now, time for us began with creation in Genesis chapter 1. But in Psalms chapter 90, in verse 1, the Bible says, Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. Listen to this. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hast formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. And that's just about as far as we can explain it. You know, he just always was and always will be. We have a hard time comprehending that because we don't fully understand the eternal. Turn to Psalm chapter 90, because we're going to read a few more verses there. And I want us to see something in Scripture. God clearly communicates about the brevity and the pain of life. He doesn't hold back. He does inform us. But what he does is gives us tools to live for the Lord. Look at Psalm chapter 90 in verse 3. Notice the different word pictures that describe this. Psalm 90 verse 3. Thou turnest, let me make sure I get my scripture here. Yeah, okay. Thou turnest man to destruction and sayest, return, ye children of men. For 1,000 years in thy sight are but as yesterday when it is past. It's neat. I just like to understand that. And as a watch in the night, verse 5, thou carriest them away as with a flood, they are as a sleep. In the morning they are like grass which groweth up. In the morning it flourisheth and groweth up. In the evening it is cut down and withereth. For we are consumed by thine anger, and by thy wrath are we troubled. Thou hast set our iniquities before thee, our secret sins in the light of thy countenance. For all our days are passed away in thy wrath. We spend our years as a tale that is told. The days of our years are 80 years and 10. 20, 40, 60, 70. And if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet is their strength labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off and we fly away. Who knoweth the power of thine anger? Even according to thy fear, so is thy wrath. The days of our years, it is soon cut off. We essentially fly away. So what do we do based on this? God answers us with information on how to age graciously. As a matter of fact, it is where I get verse 12 now, the title of my Bible study tonight. So, verse 12, teach us to number our days. Now, I found this interesting. It just struck me as I was studying this. Look at that verse on the screen there. So, teach us to number our years. Did I read it right? I didn't, did I? So teach us to number our days. This means that I get to have birthday cake every day, right? Because I'm going to have a happy birthday day for how old I am tomorrow. Not exactly. But it does, if you think about it, it does kind of jolt you a little bit, doesn't it? We often think of our lives in terms of years, sometimes months. But teach us to number our days. We can wake up with the mindset that this is the day that the Lord has made, and I want to make the most of it. I think that's important, not our years, but rather take life one day at a time. Every day is a gift from God, and so we can live each one enthusiastically for him. Live every day of your life for the glory of God. There's one, I'm going to close with this good Old Testament example of someone who had a grip on this area of aging. So turn in your Bibles in closing tonight to Joshua chapter 14, chapter 14. Joshua chapter 14. All right, Joshua chapter 14. This is an Old Testament example of Caleb. Caleb was someone who is a very good example of living as long as God would have him in a good and faithful way. Verse 6 says, then the children of Judah came unto Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said unto him, thou knowest the thing that the Lord said unto Moses, the man of God, concerning me and thee in Kadesh Barnea. 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to espy out the land. And I brought him word again as it was in mine heart. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt. My brethren. So you remember the story, right? Only two came back out of all those spies to say that they believed God. He said, but I wholly followed the Lord my God. Well, that's good evidence of aging well right there. He's 40 and he's wholly following the Lord his God. Verse 9, and Moses sware on that day, saying, surely the land whereon thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance and thy children's forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God. And now, behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, even since the Lord spake this unto Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now, lo, I am this day 85 years old. How old is that? 85. He's 85 years old at this point. He's telling this and explaining it. In verse 11, as yet I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now, for war, both to go out and to come in. Now therefore give me this mountain whereof the Lord spake in that day. For thou heardest in that day how the Anakims were there, and that the cities were great and fenced. If so be the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out as the Lord said. You know, that is an important verse. Did you hear what he said there? Just what God said, it will be. I have faith, wholly following the Lord God, wholly following the Lord. Verse 13, and Joshua blessed him and gave unto Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, Hebron for an inheritance. Hebron therefore became the inheritance of Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, unto this day, because that he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. He is aging very well. He's wholly following the Lord. He has faith in him. At 45 years old, Caleb served as a spy in the land of Canaan, living by faith. He and Joshua were the two men of the 12 that came back and said, you know, we believe God. We're going to follow God. And everybody else was scared. But that attitude continued throughout his life. And here he is, 85 now, wholly following the Lord, still living the life of faith. Now, therefore, give me this mountain, he says in verse 12, whereof the Lord spake, and he explained. He said, he essentially quoted what God had told them. And so he wholly is following the Lord. Caleb's life reveals two truths about aging. First of all, it's possible for life's greatest achievements to occur in old age. And secondly, there's no retirement for the Christian life. You keep living faith every single day, 85 years old. Retirement doesn't mean you've earned the right to be useless, right? And essentially, there's no retirement from your call to be an ambassador of Christ. You have a purpose. So we need to really strengthen our grip on the idea of aging with biblical truth. Think of life as a challenge, not a threat. Think of it as an opportunity. Teach us to number our days. So today is the day that I have opportunity to serve the Lord. It's not a threat. It's a challenge to do something for God. What are some of the words that we could use to describe our Christian life, or that are used in Scripture? We're running a race, right? We are on a journey. Sometimes it's referred to as warfare, a battle, a course. These are all words that Scriptures use. What are some of God's promises that you can claim during this challenge of life? That he will never leave us nor forsake us. That he is a God of grace. He will give us wisdom. He will be with us. He will give us strength. View every stage of life as an opportunity to steward it for the honor and glory of God. Just like you are supposed to do with your finances, with your talents. It is an opportunity to steward that for God. He's given it to you. He's blessed you. So he's blessed you today with the opportunity to have a beating heart. And you're to steward that for God's glory. Whatever stage of life that means for you, if you're a small child in here tonight, then you have been given this day to be obedient to your parents, to be respectful of them, and to learn as much as you can about God and his word. And if you're, as you grow, if you're an adult, You have the opportunity to steward your day, whether you work in some field or whether you work in a different area, different line. Everywhere we are, we have the opportunity to steward what we do for God. If you're retired, you have an opportunity, more time on your hands to do more for God, to call more people or to hand out tracts or to witness to somebody. Stewardship is God-given responsibility with accountability. And it applies to way more than just finances. Every stage of life, honestly, is stewardship of time, gift, abilities, influence, health, opportunities. I could keep going. Every day of life is an opportunity to steward those things. So follow the Lord wholeheartedly at every age, as Caleb did, was a good example of. And he wholly followed the Lord. In fact, David would later give this admonition to Solomon as well. And I'll read you that verse. It's found in 1 Chronicles chapter 28 in verse 9. David is saying, "And thou, Solomon, my son, know thou the God of thy father and serve him with a perfect heart and with a willing mind. For the Lord searcheth all hearts and understandeth all the imaginations of the thoughts. If thou seek him, he will be found of thee. But if thou forsake him, he will cast thee off forever." Paul wrote these words, "And whatsoever you do, do it what? Heartedly, as to the Lord and not unto men. Trust in the Lord to do his part while you do yours." Psalm 71:9, "Cast me not off in the time of old age. Forsake me not when my strength faileth." Isaiah 46:4, "And even to your old age I am he, and even to hoar hairs will I carry you. I have made and I will bear, even I will carry and will deliver you." How does your view of aging need to change? All of us are doing it. Every one of us is at different stages, some closer than others, but we're still aging. And we ought to have a biblical perspective about it. What does God say about it? Stay wholeheartedly in faith to him and steward the time that you have for God's honor, for God's glory. Father, we thank you for your word tonight. We thank you for the truth, the practical truth. For every single area of our life, there is guidance and there is scripture, and we know the scripture to be your word. Sometimes it strikes me, the reality that I'm reading what you want me to read from this is from you. And Lord, I pray you'd help us to see that and understand that we can age. It is a process that you design, but we can do so in a way that brings you honor and glory. We can wholly follow you and have faith in you. And I pray that that will be the challenge that each person within the sound of my voice will walk away from this service with tonight. The challenge to live every day for your honor and for your glory and steward it for you. We ask you bless our time together now in Jesus' name. Amen.